Let's start the recording and let's start this second webinar of 2016. Thank you for joining us this evening. I see it's a Champions League evening, so thank you for being here. This webcast is all about upgrading to Configuration Manager current brands, but before we start, we just have a couple of things to which we'd like to mention. Please follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter. We have our own website. We're on Jammer and LinkedIn. If you have comments or questions, or you would like to join us, or you have ideas to present yourself, please contact us, and we provide the stage for you. Thank you for our sponsors. Besides webinars, we're also organizing on-premise events, six in every year. And thanks to our sponsors, we're allowing to do that for free. So thank you, Automation Machine, Veeam, Secunia, Savision, Nice IT Management Solutions, and REST Software. Our current planning for this year is we have this is our second webinar. We have two more left, and our next on-premise event is April the third. No, yeah, April the 13th. So that's a mistake because the 9th of March is today. It's all about Azure, and we have a couple of cool subjects which we will announce very soon, and it's at KPN Consulting in Zoetermeer. So you currently are allowed to get your tickets via our website. So before announcing or introducing our speaker, I would like to point out to one of the nicest community events of the year. That's the Midwest Management Summit in Minneapolis, which is held mid-May. Be sure, if you're able to join us in the Mall of America, be sure to do that, because it's all about technical content and community. So don't expect keynote sessions or fancy marketing talks. It's all about content and being able to exchange experiences between you and the community. So, up next is Kent Agelund. Kent, thank you for joining us today. I think you're just flown in from Sweden to Denmark. I think we're a couple of days in Denmark before you leave again. So, thank you for creating time in your busy schedule to tell us about your experience upgrading to the fancy current branch.
Well, thanks for having me. And since Copenhagen is not playing in the Champions League, I have plenty of time Wednesday evening. So,
so that's true.
let me present my screen here. Just let me know when you can see. I'll present my entire desktop. So just let me know when you can see my desktop.
Currently loading.
Currently loading. Okay.
And there it is, for me at least.
I'm well aware that when we're doing these Skype sessions here, it might take a little while for the screens to load for some of you. So I'll be speaking a little slowly tonight. As Peter said, my name is Kent Agelund. I'm from Coretec Global. I live in Copenhagen, but spend most of my time outside of Denmark. Going to tell you about migrating to Configuration Manager current branch, or CB, as I would like to call it. As a matter of fact, I just returned from a 1511 migration last night, and the last 3 weeks I've been doing three different migrations, and it's based on those experiences that I'm going to to do a lot of demos tonight and also share a few things that I ran into. This is me. This is Copenhagen. This is my Twitter feed. Whenever I run into issues, I normally tweet about them, write a blog post just like Peter and the rest of the guys behind your local user group here. So it's always a good idea to, you know, follow guys like Peter and me on Twitter, not because we are the brightest in the world, but because the guys that we follow are usually very clever and we often retweet them. I'm an enterprise mobility MVP. Doesn't mean that I know everything there is to know about SCCM or Config Manager, but it helps as we do have some insight on what's coming, and we can get some better answers when we run into issues. And I will share some of that with you today. The first thing we have to figure out when we go into any migration is what is the current setup. The current setup, one thing I've learned is don't trust anyone. You need to go in and investigate yourself. So if the customer is saying that everything is fine, we don't have any issues, I mean, everything just runs smoothly, something is wrong, because there is always some kind of issues, some kind of performance issues with SCCM if it has been running for a certain period of time. So you need to go in and figure out what you have. You also need to figure out stuff like certificates, the infrastructure, the collections, the shares, where do you have your source files, because all of that might come in very, very handy in the event that you have to do a disaster and recovery. And doing a disaster and recovery, that's something that I've been doing the last 2 out of 3 migrations, not because anything went wrong, but because we were changing the site server OS. And when you're doing that, you have to do a backup and a restore. So there are the requirements for what you document is very high. What I usually do is, if I do not know the site at all, I perform a SQL audit. I perform a SQL audit so I get information, insights about the SQL server. Often what I see is that the SQL Server might be, you know, if it's a site that has been running for a while, it might be SQL Server 2008 R2. There is absolutely nothing wrong in that, but let's face it, 2008, it's 8 years ago, right? So you're running your backend on 8-year-old technology. And SQL Server 2008 R2 is still supported, so you can still upgrade and run your current branch on that. But you probably don't want to do that. I mean, SQL 2012 and 2014, there's a lot of enhancement there, especially if you're running your site server on a virtual machine. And I'm pretty sure that most of you do that. By the way, if you have any questions, please feel free to add them into the IM window. I'm unable to monitor the IM window, but I know that that Peter will be doing that and just stop me and ask me any questions. Another thing you need to perform as well is, you know, just a general performance audit. So how is everything going? I mean, you need to figure out if your collections are working against you or if they're working with you. And then something that I've noticed, at least at 2 out of 3 customers I went to, is this is the time to review your existing management processes. What I mean is often maybe your software updates are not working the way you really want them to work. Maybe your OS deployment, you know, rebuilding the reference images and stuff like that doesn't really, it's not as automated as you want it to be. And now is time to redo all of that. I want to do as many demos as possible. So what I have in this environment, and I'll just jump to my demo environment. So my demo environment here, I used to have, because I've cheated a little bit just in interest of time, but I used to have my CM server running on this box here, CM01, Windows Server 2008 with a SQL Server 2008. What I have done is I've done a backup and a restore. I'm going to show you that. So my current server is this one here. The very same site, just a restore on a newer operating system. So let's just pretend that this is the old one. So normally what I would be doing here is I would go into my configuration manager console. I would take a look at my log files, and then I will just look for the obvious. So how are my components doing? Do I have, you know, any issues with my system status? Is my site status okay? Is, you know, all of my component statuses here? I can see I have some issues with my WSync manager. How about my software update synchronization, my replication, and so on and so forth? Here it's clear to me that this one here failed. So I would spend some time investigating this. As a rule of thumb, I don't always trust the component status. So if I see an error like I have here in my hierarchy manager, what I would normally do is I would go into the log files. And if you do not memorize all the log files, and I know there are, you know, 300-400 log files, a little trick here is to start the service manager. And the service manager has been around, you know, for ages. So when we get into Service Manager, in here you will see a list of all the components. So all you gotta do is you just gotta right click that component, and then you can see the name of the log file. So here you go. So I have all my components in here. So just go in and find my hierarchy manager. Let's just pretend this is the hierarchy manager. Go in, take a look at locking, and then right here you have the name of the log file. So that's a very easy way for you to figure out what log files you want to look at, because all the log files that have, where you can see in the components here where you have issues, you want to do something about them. if everything is okay in SCCM, then the next step is to go in and have a look at your SQL. There are a couple of things in here you wanna look at like instantly, and that would be stuff like, you know, your files. How big is your database? How are the file layout? How big is your log file? How about your system databases, your TempDB, and so on and so forth? The thing is, there are so many different things you wanna check that if you have to do it manually, You will probably forget one or more important steps. So what we have for that scenario, instead of doing everything manually, we have a PowerShell script, and I will share these scripts here. Whatever I'm showing, I will share that. So the PowerShell script, it's fairly easy to run. You start by changing your location. So I've placed my PowerShell script in temp. I have my SQL server here, and if you have a named instance, then you just do a backslash and then the named instance. And after that, you have your SCCM database. So that's the only thing you have to do. What the PowerShell script will do is it will run a lot of different SQL queries. So it will figure out what is the server property. So what is the version number you have? How about your database files? How about your fragmentation, and so on and so forth? All of these different checks here will then be placed in a CSV file. So for each check, you will have a CSV file. And if I execute this one, it will just generate the CSV file in my temp folder. So if I go in here, then in here you'll see I have 18 different CSV files. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'll just want to point out a few things. Stuff like my server properties. So in here, I can see information like my version. The collation order shouldn't be an issue because the collation order has been the same for SCCM for ages. And I know especially for us here in the Nordic regions, if we get a database administrator to install SQL, he or she often go in and install the Nordic collation order, and that will fail. At the end of this PowerShell script here, I'm running another PowerShell script. I didn't do it here, but you will see I have a PowerShell script here called compile reports PS1. So if you run this one, you need the PowerShell script, of course, but if you have it, then what it will do is it will take all of the CSV files and add them into a single Excel spreadsheet. So you'll have a nicely formatted Excel spreadsheet, and instead of having individual files, you'll just have an Excel tab. So you can go into your Excel spreadsheet there, and then you have, you know, all the database properties, all the file properties, and so on and so forth. Now, I do not have Office installed on my site server, so so I'm not going to run it there, but you could literally take it and run it from any machine, as long as it's the correct PowerShell version. A few other things to hand out or point out would be I/O. So when you go in here, you'll see the different databases, and then you can see the I/O in percent. This is what I would call a typical database. So I have my config manager database, 61%, give or take, and then I have my TimDB, 38%. And the reason why I want to emphasize this is one of the issues I see at a lot of customers is that they don't really take care of their temp database. When I look at my temp database here and go in and have a look at the files in here, these are the default settings, and this is so wrong. Those of you who have read the TechNet documents, and I have them open here. When you go in here and open up the TechNet documents, you will see some general recommendations, you know, for your database size and so on and so forth. What I have done is I have a couple of years ago, I created a SQL spreadsheet and this spreadsheet here, I just took the numbers from TechNet. So let's say that we have a typical European config manager environment, 18,500 clients. Then in here you can see, well, in an environment like that, your temp database should probably be or end up being around 30 gigabytes. We will never ever have just one file. You will always have at least two files. At least two files when it comes to your temp database. So meaning in this environment, I should create two files and I should configure them to approximately 15 gigabytes. And now some of you might say, what does that have to do with migrating into current branch? Well, it is important because a migration is not like a magic pill. So, I mean, if the stuff is not working before you migrate, it certainly will not work after the migration. So you need to know what you're kind of dealing with. So I spent some time on SQL, and then I also spent some time, let's see if I have that tool installed here. Wow, I don't. But then I also spent some time on the resource kit. So those of you who are familiar with the Configuration Manager Toolkit, you know that we have a collection evaluator. That collection evaluator viewer is going to give you some valuable information about how long does it actually take to evaluate each of your collections. So someone is asking about control. Not in my environment, but thanks for asking, though. Can I get rid of that, please? So let's just go back here. And remember, if you have any questions, just add them to the IM, and then someone will ask me. So the audit is super important, because then we know more or less what we have. Step two in here is the migration. Now we know what we're dealing with. The next thing is we need to look at, what is the site server operating system? If you have Windows Server 2008, go in and please have a look at the supported configurations, and you will realize that 2008 R2, that is the minimum for most of the roles. If you do have 2008 R2, you are now in a dilemma, because you don't want to stick around with that old operating system, period. It works. Yeah, but again, it's like it's 8 years old, and this might be the last configuration manager version, just like it's the last Windows 10 version. There will be a lot of updates to it, yeah, but it might be the last version. So you're going to be stuck with this operating system for quite a while. As I see it, you have three options. Option number one, you can leave it. Say, I don't care. I don't like that option, but it's an option. Option number two is to do a backup and a restore. So you simply say, okay, I'm going to install a new operating system. That new operating system, there are a few requirements, and only a few requirements. And let me just list those requirements here. It has to have the same name, period. It has to have somewhat the same disk layout. When I say somewhat, then it's because you can place your database, on other partitions. It's still going to work. You might want to think about your IP address. Your IP address is not a requirement. But what I've seen is you have IP helpers. You might have, specific router configurations, where you allow your site server to communicate with some site system servers in the DMC environment or DMZ environment. So even though SCCM does not care about the IP address, you might care about the IP address in the environment, and that has caught me a few times, because even though the customer is saying, well, it's okay, we have opened up the firewalls, the network guys told us that everything is okay. Rule number five: never trust the network guys, even though they're nice. Just don't trust them, especially not when you're doing a migration like this. And I've seen it a couple of times. So if you want to do a backup and a restore, and it works, it really works, and I've done it twice within the last 3 weeks here. There are a couple of things you need to do. First off, of course, you need to back up your database. It's not a requirement that you back up your content library, but if you have the time and you do, then I would recommend doing that. Document your source folders. Hopefully you have your source folders, and with source folders, I am thinking about your images, your drivers, your packages and software updates. Hopefully you have them, on another server, but I would say a good 20-25% of European customers, they have the source folder on the same server. So you need to move that. You need to copy that to the new site server you're going to install. Document your accounts. You don't have to worry about your accounts, but you do have to worry about your passwords, because what you're going to do is you're going to restore the database. You will restore your accounts, but you will not restore your passwords. The passwords are never part of your backup. So that's important. And now we're talking, you know, your client push accounts, SQL Server accounts, all of that, all the accounts that you can see in a CCM. Another thing is you need to document your site server group memberships. So if your site server can only, you know, synchronize to WSUS or Microsoft Updates because it's a member of a specific group, well, maybe when you decommission the old server, maybe accidentally someone deletes the site server computer account in Active Directory before joining a new server. When that happens, well, away goes all your site, all your group memberships and everything, because now it's a brand new object. If you don't have to delete the old server from Active Directory, because when you're joining the new server with the same name, the old one will automatically be disjoined. And when you do it like that, then group memberships and stuff like that is still intact. Just like we do not back up passwords, then we don't back up your certificates. So you need to document your certificates. So that's another thing. So make sure you do all of this, and I'll show you part of this in the next demo here. Then I have a note, because 1602, Config Manager 1602, current branch, will offer support, according to the documents, support for you to do an in-place upgrade of 2008 R2. Now the question is, even though there is a support for that, do you want to do it? It really depends on, you know, your hardware. If you are one of the first, you know, early movers and you have your site server on physical iron, I would virtualize that probably, and hopefully you have some kind of automated process to virtualize that. Otherwise you might have to, you know, back up and restore anyway. If you have a newer OS like a Server 2012, just in place upgraded and fixed WSUS. That's it. And if you have Windows 2012 R2, I'm sorry to say, but it's really just a walk in the park. Things can still go wrong, but upgrading to 1511 is really, really easy. And for all of these sites here, you need to have Windows 10 ADK, and even though there is a fix out for the latest ADK, there's just a ton of things you have to do to get that fix working. So I'm still just sticking around with the older version of Windows 10 ADK because I do know that it works. Okay, so let's have a look at how we can prepare the server there. So I'll just be going into my environment again. First off, what I would normally do is I would document all of my shares. So if you go to Bing or Google, just, you know, search for PowerShell document shares, and you'll find plenty of different scripts that can do that. Second off, as I mentioned, I will document the accounts, and so we are all clear on what I'm talking about, these are the accounts, right? So you have, you know, like a client push installation account. You never use the administrator. You have a network access account, a reporting services account, and so on and so forth. These are the accounts where you have to go in and restore the password. And the way you restore the password, you just go in, set, and then you enter the password again. And even though you verify and you verify is successful, it's not always the same as the password is correct. Trust me. It's not always the same as the permissions are correct. I've seen a few examples where the domain join account in a task sequence was, you know, successful, but it turned out it didn't have the right permission. So there, I mean, you still need to do a couple of tests in here. Okay, so for backup and restore, a couple of things. We could go in when we want to do a backup in here, go into my site maintenance task, and then configure a backup site server. and then you can restore that way. I never do that, and there are a couple of reasons why I don't do that, mainly because it does not compress my backup. So if my database is 95 gigabytes, I have to move 95 gigabytes around, and I'm not a big fan of that. So what I'm doing in 2012, and what I'm still doing in the current branch here is, I go into SQL, and in SQL I create what we call a maintenance plan. So a maintenance plan in here, and for my maintenance plan to work, I need a SQL Server agent, and it's currently just disabled. So just 2 seconds. Go in and enable the SQL Server agent here. Let's just give it the local system there. There you are. So now my management here. So as I said, I'll go into to management, and then in here I have my maintenance plan. I'll start my maintenance plan wizard. If you wanna, you know, back up SCCM, under normal circumstances you wanna have a scheduled backup, even if you have it on a virtual machine and you do a snapshot, because what if something happens to that snapshot, right? Then the backup is your only way back. What you want to do is, if we're only talking about backup here, we're not talking general SQL maintenance here, then you want to do a full database backup, and you want to include all your databases, period. You want to create a subdirectory for each database, and you want to make sure that you actually compress your backup. So right now I'm just going to store everything in SQL BCK, and that's it. So backing up my old environment, and now we're just pretending that this is the old environment, this is literally all you got to do. So when I execute this one, and go to SQL BCK, you'll see that it's going to create a folder, and in this folder here, I'm going to get my backup, and that's it. So I'll take the BAK file, and then I copy that one to my new server. And if you notice this BAK file here, I don't know if you can see the date, but it's from January 18, and that was when I restored this server here. So remember, this used to be a 2008 R2 server. So when you want to restore, you go to your new server, you simply just go in and say, I want to restore my database. Then you point to a device, you point to your file, and here you go. I'm not going to do it here because this one here is old, but here I could just, you know, restore this one here. After a restore, I will run setup. When I run setup, I will say, you know what, I want to do a restore, and I've already restored the database, so just go ahead and use that one, and then go ahead and then reinstall SCCM. So it's going to ask you about your site code, because by getting your site code, it knows about the database. So you'll see here my site code is PS1, so it knows what database to search for. It's also going to ask you a few other basic questions, but then once it has all the answers, it's just going to restore everything. It takes, all depending on your hardware, of course, but it takes about 30 to 60 minutes for what I would call an average database size. If you are in the hundreds of thousands, then restoring the database obviously will take a little longer. Once the database is restored, as I mentioned, you want to go through these steps here. So you want to recreate recreate your passwords. You want to make sure your certificates are enrolled and so on and so forth. That's about it for the OS. There are still some other things left to do for your site systems. I'll get back to them in just a few seconds. So now we have the site server up and running, and we have that one restored. So now we just need to look at what current config manager version do we actually have. If you have 2007, you have to do a side-by-side migration, period. We're moving from 32-bit to a 64-bit environment. You cannot do an in-place upgrade, and that's it. if you have 2012, then as long as you have, one service pack, so you can see here it can be the old service pack, the first one, and hopefully you have that one, or it can be R2, it could be R2 service pack 1, it can be, there are no requirements for CU levels, they all act the same. So in here you will just go ahead and do an in-place upgrade. When you do your in-place upgrade, a couple of things you always want to do. You always want to check your database. And then on your database, you want to run setup and then / test DB upgrade, and then the name of your database. You want to run this command on an isolated SQL server. It has to be far, far, far away from production, period. And when I say far, far away from production, some of you will say, yeah, but I'm not stupid enough, to do this on the side server. Nope. But what I've seen is if you have a config manager client installed on the server where you try to run your TestDB upgrade, that one will also fail. So it will actually say something about, I can't find CM underscore CHK. And you go, what on earth is this database? I don't know about this database. And to be honest, I do not know why it's asking about that database. I just know that we have seen that. And that was because we tried to do a TestDB upgrade on a SQL server that had a client installed. I have not seen this documented anywhere. I just know when we finally realized that, uninstall the client, remove the registry settings and so on and so forth, then everything ran just like expected.
Good.
That's why, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a question from Michael. When you restore, do we need to have the same version of SQL, or can you back up from SQL 2008 and restore to 2014?
Yeah. Restore always up. What I mean is, you can restore. You can back up from SQL 2008 and restore AMD and restore on SQL 2014. SP1 CU5. That's what I've been doing for the last 3 weeks. It works. One thing you should know is that this version here is not really supported on Configuration Manager R2. I think in order for you to get 2014 support, you need to be on SP1 CU1. I think that's the one. So if you plan on doing this in 2 Tempi, Monday and Tuesday we're going to do the site server operating system upgrade, then you might have to use SQL 2012, because 2014 might not be supported on the version that you have. We have had that scenario once. And then what we're going to do once we are on current branch is we're going to do an in-place upgrade of SQL. But the answer to your question, and that was a long answer, the answer to your question is yes, you can do that. There is, I mean, I have not seen any issues at all, and I've done it a lot of times. So 2008, 2008.2, 2012, and as long as you restore it on a newer SQL, then you're good. I have not done any SQL 2016 yet. One of the reasons why is because I'm waiting the product team that they supported, and we have not seen that, or at least I have not seen that yet. So I'll stick with this one here. This is my go to production SQL version for now. Yeah, I hope that kind of answered the question there, Michael. Okay. So when you are doing your upgrade, a couple of things you want to do. You want to do, your test DB upgrade, as I mentioned. You also want to run your prereq check executable. Run that before the actual upgrade. And the reason why you want to do that is, I mean, you might see some issues here that you're unaware of. For instance, it could be that it says, well, your TimDB and SCCM database DB is not using, same collation. And you go like, that's not correct. I see they use the same collation, but what the log file is really telling you, hey, I can go in and I can read the collation on the config manager database because you're a sysadmin, but maybe the site server doesn't have any permission, so we cannot read the collation of the temp database. So, and you might say, okay, then I just go in and add, the site server, and then the site server has the right permissions. But you have to remember, this, might happen, after hours. And the database administrator is, that guy is watching Champions League, or she might be sleeping, right? So if you find out tonight that, hey, you don't have the right permissions, well, that window is gone. You have to wait until maybe next week. So you always want to do the prerequisite check before. It's just common sense, in my opinion. And then finally, before we do anything, you want to do set up DL, and then just say, hey, I want to download the 1511 DLs to D colon something. And again, you want to do this ahead of time. I've seen a couple of times, not a lot of times, but I have seen that from time to time that we are unable to download the files that we need, the setup files that we need, and then it might take, Microsoft a day or two before they have everything up and running again. You just come prepared into the battle, and you don't have to worry about that. So that is like, that is what I want to do before I upgrade, and then I'm going to do the upgrade. And when you do the upgrade, we found a minor bug. When you watch the UI, you can say, hey, I want to view the log file. Whatever you do, don't push the view log file, because it's going to open CM trace, and it's going to open CM trace from your tools folder, and you will get an error, because when it tries to copy the new version of CM trace, it cannot do that because you're using the old version, and the upgrade will break. The good news is that when it breaks, it has already done all the extremely important database steps, so you can just rerun setup again. You don't want to see that. Seriously, you seriously don't want to see that at 11:30 in the evening. Okay, so now we have the site backup, site up and running again, and now we run into a ton of issues. So just imagine that 1511 is running. The first thing I notice is I'm unable to synchronize. So I'm looking in my see if we can find the log files here. If I go into program files, configuration manager and tools, let's just get cmtrace here to the taskbar. So I'm looking at some of the log files, and I can see here when I look at the wsync manager log file and my WCM log file here that I might have issues. I've seen that a couple of times. It tells me right now I don't believe I have any internet connection here, so that's the reason why. But one of the issues I ran into was that, hey, I cannot synchronize with your WSUS server. You have to remember, let's see here, if I get, let's just get MS Paint in here. You have to remember that you have your SCCM server, right? So in your SCCM server, all your updates are like CIs, so they're basically just CIs. They are synchronizing with your WSUS server over here. So you have my WSUS or my software update point, and my software update point most likely is synchronizing. Oops, let's just go back here. Most likely is synchronizing with Microsoft updates. So what I've seen a couple of times is that right here, it says, well, I'm trying to synchronize all the categories that I know about. And remember, this is an old server. You just did a restore. And then it will connect to WSUS, and it will say, hey, SUS server, I have these categories. I have Office 2010, Office 2013, and so on and so forth. And then it will also mention, hey, and by the way, I have this category here called Configuration Manager 2012, and there it all breaks, because the WSUS server doesn't know anything about that, so it's unable to configure that category because it doesn't exist over there. There is an easy fix for that. Normally, you would just go in on your site components. You will go into your software update point, and the easy fix is simply to go into your products and remove, everything. Just remove the product. If it complained about BizTalk Server 2002, you just remove the checkbox, and then it goes okay. But what if the product it's complaining about is not on the list? I've seen that. Then we have an issue. So in the database, it's listed. But it's not really listed in the UI, so when it tries to configure WSUS, it fails. And when it cannot configure WSUS, I mean, you will never ever be able to synchronize. So now nothing really works. That's where you want to know about this query here. So I have a select statement here. And this select statement, what this one is doing, it's giving me all the categories that I have. And you will also see the products and so on. So this is where I found Configuration Manager 2012. Why did I find that? Well, the reason why I found that one was because of SCUP. So the customer used to have SCUP installed in the old environment. They uninstalled SCUP, or they didn't migrate SCUP, or something like that. And then in the new environment, they didn't install SCUP again, so they didn't publish the same updates. So the new WSUS server is unaware of the SCUP categories. The workaround was I wouldn't say easy, but what we did was you have a select statement here, and then you can go in and say, I want to find all the products we have with the name Skype. I have one here. Okay, cool. and then after that, once you have found that, you can, just go in and delete that and say, I want to delete everything about this Skype category in the database. And once you have done that, synchronization just runs. So that one is very nice to know. And I will give the scripts to Peter, and then Peter can share them. Another issue I've seen is the WSUS catalog being out of sync. So, you know, when clients are receiving the WSUS XML file, the catalog file, they have the latest version number. So they will say, okay, you're giving me version number 75. You know what? I already have 79, so I don't need that. So for that reason, clients will never ever download another catalog. If that happens, and then you need to first off, you need to figure out, so what is the highest minimum catalog version? So that's kind of the catalog version that the clients are saying, hey, we need something higher than that. And then in registry, when you go into your SMS components in here, and your SMS components, one of the components is the WSync manager. So in here you have like content version. You have see where I have the other one here, last attempt version. So those and the sync to version, those you would just say, okay, so they're expecting version, let's say they're expecting version 85. So we'll just bump this one up here to 85 plus one, and then all of a sudden the clients are going to download everything again. That one I've seen a single time after doing an upgrade. So it really depends on. Sometimes your WSUS just comes out of sync with the clients. It doesn't happen a lot, but I've seen it. What else? Well, on the distribution points, we do care about the bandwidth. So if you have 2008 distribution point servers, you need to replace those, because 2008.2 is like the lowest minimum version. But if you have 2008 servers in remote locations, I mean, you care about the bandwidth. So the trick there is, let's say I have a 2008 server here, and I have that in far, far away, and I have 250 gigabyte of content here. Then what I do is I just set up a new server. So I'll set up a new 2012 R2 distribution point. And I will make this one here a pull DP. So this guy over here is going to be my master. So I'm going to transfer all the content, but it's local content transfer. So I don't care about that. I'm not, you know, the bandwidth is not impacted here. And then once everything is good, I'm going to, decommission this. And this is just going to be a standard distribution point if that's what you want to do. So that's just a little trick. Then another thing, I know a lot of you are probably running, maybe a single server. You have 3,000 clients and you have the distribution point on the site server. If you do a site server restore, so now you're restoring the database, you're restoring SCCM, then you'll notice one thing that is not part of your restore, and that is your IIS. So even though you restored your content library, even though, you know, you have your SMS package shares and all of that, you don't have your distribution point folders in IIS. So when your clients are requesting a package, they're unable to connect to the IIS folder and download the package because the folder simply doesn't exist. The easiest way there is, I mean, you need to recreate the IIS folders, and I mean, you can do a ton of tricks, but at the end of the day, uninstalling and installing the distribution point is an exercise that takes you about 5 minutes. And when you reinstall the distribution point on your site server, it's going to recreate everything. And you don't have to worry about content, because the content is already in the content library on the site server. So it's not going to do much. So that's one thing. Make sure before you do this that you have distribution point groups, because by having distribution point groups, you can just add your site server to a group and it will automatically get all the content that you have distributed to that group. So even though you only have one distribution point, always add to a group, because you never ever know what will happen in the future, and having a group is just so much easier. Then a couple of other things. The certificates on your distribution points. Well, you will run into some funny errors. So when you look at your distribution manager log file, everything seems okay. But when you look at your log file, you all of a sudden you see some errors in here, and it says failed to decrypt Pixie. And that's because the self-signed certificate that you have, so you have a self-signed certificate on your server here, and that self-signed certificate, let's see where I have my distribution point, there you go, that self-signed certificate, well, that one was not part of your restore. So when you did, you know, your site server restore, that one here was not part of that. So you need to recreate your certificate. There are different ways you can do that. You can go in, you know, and give it another expiry date. Then it will automatically be recreated. You can follow the process here. See, it's actually, you can see that it's doing some stuff right now. So you can follow the process in your distribution manager log file. So not having the right certificate, obviously, if you have some offline OSD media or stuff like that, they will have to be recreated. Finally, management points. If you have the client installed on your management point, and if you have your management point on your site server, you need a reboot, literally, because you'll get the famous 1603 error when it tries to run CCM setup. I see that every single time. So if you have a management point on the site server and you have a client, when the core setup is done, you'll notice that the site component manager log file is simply just stuck in installing a management point. Reboot it. That's it. Okay, so that's like, and I did the demo in here. So that's some of the gotchas that I've seen within the last couple of weeks. Then, when you want to stay current, you know that update and servicing. This is the latest config manager version that we will get. So when you install SCCM, you'll notice we have something called updates and servicing. And in here, we have already seen the first update. So when you see an update in there, you can right-click the update, and then you can run the prerequisite checker. You can download it. You can install the update. I have done that a couple of times, not on this server here. But one thing I want you to know about is, see where I have. Maybe I don't have that log file yet. No. It's not been created here, but you have you have a log file called cmupdate.log, and that's the log file you wanna monitor, because that log file is actually telling you everything about the installation. So just like in 2012 you are monitoring the setup log file, in the future you also wanna monitor cmupdate log file, and rumor has it that a 1602 is on its way. We know we have a technical preview, and those of you who have been working around with the technical previews, you also know that when you're upgrading from 1511 to 1601, it takes about the same time as you know, upgrading from 2012 to 1511. So the cloud service in here is oh, this is actually a 2012 server I started. But the cloud service in here, I didn't even realize that. The cloud service in here is will give you options to upgrade to 16.02. And the versions are so much alike, so I didn't even notice that this was a 2012. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for the session here. Okay, so I think that was like my 59 minutes of fame here. This is like my last slide. Your clients, you will get something called pre-production and production client deployment. Trust me, you're going to love this, because if you use the automatic client deployment feature, and I've used that at all my 1511 migration projects, then clients are just going to be upgraded within, you know, a couple of days or a couple of weeks. You control that. But this is the dashboard where you can actually see what's going on, how many issues have you had, and so on and so forth. With that, I have some resources here, and especially some of the current branch landing pages, information about a WSOS hotfix that you need, the database guide that I talked about, the SQL audit. So the SQL audit in here, the tool that I use is from a fellow MVP, Steve Thompson, and he has that on his blog, but I will give information to Peter. So Peter, I'll hand it over to you. So just stop presenting here.
Okay, cool. Thank you. There are a couple of questions. I don't know if you can already can see the IM window.
Yeah, I see it now, yeah. So we had the SQL question, that one we answered. And then we have another one from Arjun. Any good arguments to migrate? So what would be the killer argument to migrate to 1511? So the best argument right now, in my opinion, is Windows 10. Another argument is new features. What we're seeing on the on-prem investment from the CM team these days is fantastic. I mean, and I'm pretty sure you agree with that, Peter. I mean, for the last couple of years, we have seen a lot of investment in the cloud services and Intune, but with 1511 and all the stuff that is coming in 1602, I mean, all the new features are coming to current branch. Don't expect, you know, any more features to come with the old version. But Windows 10, if you want to manage that, a lot of new management features, if you want to upgrade it, control it, then you have to go to Windows 1511, unless you want to do a lot of task sequence work. Ton of new features. One of the new features in 1601 that I really like is the ability to see online versus offline clients. So you'll see a new icon. And all the clients that are online, they're green. All the clients that are offline, you can see that with a little cross.
That's one of the features that came out of the hackathon during the MVP summit.
Exactly.
So it was really cool. They built it in a week.
Yeah. So Troy also have a really good question. So what are our thoughts on remaining on 2012? Because the company has decided to deploy LTSB, the long-term servicing branch, on all their Windows 10 clients. I understand the argument, but what I would say to that client is, I still want to migrate. I mean, migrating my SCCM environment is not necessarily that big of a deal, all depending on what you have. So if your site server OS is already 2012, I mean, if your infrastructure is running 2012, then you're already in good shape. And even though you're running LTSB, you might still have a need for some of the new features coming. I mean, there are a ton of new features coming. Some of them are like cluster aware patching. That one is going to be like super interesting. Peter mentioned the hackathon. So something like calling a task sequence from another task sequence. I mean, that is super, super interesting. O365 servicing. That's another one. And that one is already here. We're just waiting for the office team. But there is, I mean, ton of stuff coming, and I wouldn't let, you know, my ALTSB stop me from migrating to current branch, SCCM current branch, that is. What else did we have? Will we have access to the slide deck after the presentation? Yeah, I will give that to Peter. And what he does with the slides, I do not know anything about.
we will upload it to the website.
So another one, can we upgrade to 1511 current branch from site version 8239100? See, what I would do there is, as long as you have a service pack, so, and I do believe this one here is, if I remember correctly, isn't that R2? I know Google will tell me in just a few seconds. But as long as you have a service pack, then you're good. And that one there should be good. Then Tom has a question. So Tom, what don't you like about the filtering option in the existing servicing module? I'm pretty sure it doesn't exist. That's what you're talking about. So what right now when we're doing Windows 10 servicing, I guess I think that's what you're addressing here. When we're doing Windows 10 upgrades, it's actually going to download all 256 versions of Windows 10, and that's an issue for most of us. So what you can do is you can go into WSUS, and then you can disable the languages, the Windows 10 versions that you're not using. I've done that a couple of times, and it's working, but the real answer would be for them to fix it. When migrating, any additional steps needed on remote DPs running 2012 R2? It depends on a few things. If your site server OS is already Windows Server 2012 R2, then no. But if your site server is 2008 R2 and you're doing, you know, like a backup and restore, then yes. And what I'm talking about would be the certificate. So you would have to go in. Do task sequence needed to be updated after migrating to 1511? Perhaps. We still have the client. We still have the client, right? And one of the things that I've seen is that that in 2012, in your task sequences in there, in the client install step, there you might have, you know, specific parameters, command lines. You might have like MSP files and stuff like that. And if you have that, simply remove them, because now the new in 1511, it can automatically add those patches. So probably, yeah, you probably have to do something, and the entire. Yep, no accounts, no passwords. No passwords are part of the restore. For every single time I have a password, you probably most likely have to go in and re-enter those passwords, which is why you documented them in the first place, I guess.
So I guess Johan still has a question about is migrating from SCCM 2012 to current branch on a new hardware on hardware an option, or is it it's not supported?
Oh, you can do it on new hardware, absolutely. Only seriously, the only requirement, as I have seen it so far, is really is name and disk layout. Everything else doesn't really matter. But remember what I said about the IP. You might have, you know, IP helpers, you might have router configurations, you might have, you know, VLANs, wake on LAN stuff, and all of that. Any changes in the application model in 1511? Not, and Peter, here you know it as well as I do. I mean, for some of the modern apps, yeah, we have policies we can apply now, so we have managed applications, but I think what you're thinking about, Bob, is the architecture and, you know, everything, and in there I haven't seen any changes. So there are still, what, 80K version? That would be, I would say T minus, minus one. So that's, I'm still on the old one, but if you go in, let's, as I mentioned, there is a blog post out this week from the team where you can actually, there is a workaround. Yeah, Johan probably has a post on that one. But there is, if you want to use the latest, there is a workaround for that. And I know Jürgen, CCM exec, he has a blog post on that. So ccmexec.com is for Windows 10. That's a really good, another good community website, because there are a lot of them. And when we are talking Windows 10, I mean, this is only part of it. Some of the things to watch out for would be bias to UEFI. So make sure you. You check this blog post here from Mike Terrell. He has some very useful information about on those. And I know Troy Martin also has some very useful information about secure boot and stuff like that. So Windows 10 security, super interesting, but that's probably another webinar.
So yeah, and it's good to mention now we have Mike Terrell in July on premise. So
oh,
it's going to be great.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions? Any links for BitLocker? Peter, are you going to provide them with links?
We can write a wrap-up blog, so
if
there's links, we can share it.
Yeah, I'll, the links that I mentioned, I'll add them. And I saw Troy, he figured out that MikeTerrell.com is probably some, I don't even want to mention the website, but it's MikeTerrell.net, of course. Sorry about that. cool. Any other questions? Otherwise, I mean, you can always ask me on Twitter, or you can, you know, ask your group, use your the Twitter handle for your user group there. Cool. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. And yeah, thank you all the people who joined us to listen to Ken tonight. Be sure, if you're in Holland or in Belgium, visit us the 13th of April at KPN Consulting about Azure. And like mentioned earlier, in July we have our third on-premise event, and Mike Terrell is then joining us. So thank you very much, and have a nice evening, morning, or yeah, wherever you are.